Hare Krishna. So today is Wednesday, 31st of March. Death to matter and to our material bodies is inevitable. But if we master the science of dying before dying, we will connect with that which is eternal, our soul and its home in the spiritual world. After all, death is to remove everything false and secondary. So what is he saying? When we die before we die, we will connect with what? Two things. Our soul and our home in the spiritual world also. So the saintly people also have described this Jivan Mukta stage. Like a pure devotee stage, like sannyas, we that day had sannyas of Bhakti Rasamrut Swami. What was explained to me? Civil death. It is not only civil death, actually material death. From civil point of view, he is dead from family point of view. To brother, sister, mother, brother, father, he is dead. But that's not only the concept. It is actually material death. His body, his mind, his words are no more alive for the material world. They are alive and active only for the service to the Lord and to Guru and devotees. So a pure devotee, a sannyasi, may be in a stage of evolution from 70% to 100%, maybe. But when he becomes a pure devotee, the pure devotee is completely dead from the material consciousness point of view. And what is spiritual consciousness? It's only meant to think and act and speak about the Supreme Lord and to serve Him. That is spiritual consciousness. Satatam kirtanam mam yatantascha dradavrataha. That is the definition of a pure devotee. And material consciousness means engagement and indulgence in senses and its gratification. So a pure devotee will give up all these things and only live for Krishna. It's like the example is given of iron, you know. And the iron is in the contact with fire for a long time. Then finally it stops acting as iron and only acts as fire. So it is iron still. There is nothing like flame coming out of that iron. But whenever it touches anything, it burns. That is called adopting the qualities of fire completely into iron. So when we are spirit souls and we are in touch with the material body, we adopt the nature of the material body, which is dying, which is full of disease, and which is full of sadness or unhappiness or misery. While the soul is exactly opposite to the nature of the body. The soul is eternal, body is dying, the soul is in ignorance because of the limited capacity of the senses to understand and know things. So soul is in ignorance, soul is in full knowledge, but because of contact of body, it appears to be ignorant or limited in knowledge. And the soul is by nature blissful, but because of contact of body, it appears to be miserable because of the fact of birth, old age, disease and death. But consciousness point of view, when the soul gets detached from the body, when it comes out of the bodily or sensual consciousness or the consciousness of the material world around the body, that means relatives, family, property, graha, kshetra, suta, apta, vittai, money, contacts, family, all this is entourage of the body. Body in itself is a complicated existence, and the body has so much of extensions, extended family we say, extended bodily attachments. So when the soul starts getting detached from these involvements of body and its extended consciousness and extended attachments, then it is like dying to the material world. And when completely one dies like this, that is called dying before dying. So you die to material consciousness and then live, wake up to the soul, to the spiritual world and to the seva of the spiritual world. So what it means is that when we die before we die, automatically we get connected with the soul completely. It's not that we are not connected with the soul now. When we are chanting Hare Krishna, we all are spiritually connected. It's not that we are not connected. We are all connected. But the percentage of connection is different from beginning stage to the end stage. End stage is zero connection to material world. and full connection with the spiritual world and spiritual consciousness. But nonetheless, the spiritual life is a process of connection to the soul and to the spiritual world completely. So we get connected with the soul, and then eventually because of the connection we get connected with the home in the spiritual world. So all that is secondary and false has to be removed. So after all, death is to remove everything false and secondary. When we die before dying, we put first things first. The activities that nourish our souls and help us to detach from the illusion and confusion of material culture are our priorities. Since we know that life is meant to prepare for a glorious death, we live each day as if it is our last. This is very important. One sadhu, one rich man came to a sadhu and he said, I see you having no pennies, I see you having no families, no property, no all the things which I have, and I have all those things what you don't have, but I see you without having all those things, you appear so peaceful, and with having all these things I appear so disturbed, and I want to have those more and more. What is the secret of your being blissful? So he said, you fool, you are asking me this question, you are going to die in 7 days. I can see in future that you are going to die in 7 days. Now go and do something about it. So he went away. So he said, he forgot all the questions, everything he forgot, you know. He totally forgot all the questions he asked. He just got panicky and just went home. But he knew, he had faith in the sadhu that whatever he says will be true. So he went home and he met his wife and told the truth to children, relatives, friends, neighbors and kinsmen. And then he made a will, he divided his property, and then he met people whom he offended to say sorry to them. Some people came and met him, they said sorry to him, and like, you know, all the emotional equations and financial equations and family equations, everything he put into straight line. He just gave up everything. That means in 7 days of period, he actually died from material life, you know. Voluntary death, VRS from material life, he took. And he came on the 7th day back to the sadhu and he said, I have come. You told me today is my death day, so I have come to meet you. Please guide me how to go ahead now. He said, how do you feel now? He says, I am feeling so peaceful. I have no anxiety. I have no unhappiness. I am not sorry. I am happy. I am so light and peaceful. And I am ready to go. He said, this is the answer to your question. You are not going to die. You are not going to die at all. This is the answer to your question. To tell you that we sadhus are ready to die any moment of life. We are ready. Any time the call comes, we are ready. And that is why we are blissful and we are not having anxiety. Anxiety comes because we think we are going to live some more time, and anxiety comes because we prepare for those days for which we are going to live for some more time. So there's an art of sadhus that they live in the material world, but they do not live off the material world. This is the statement of Jesus Christ in Bible. Live in the material world, but not as of the material world. So they live as if they are yatris. Like we go to yatra, we don't buy a flat there and buy furniture and establish everything and take ration card and take gas cylinder. We don't do that. We just go, take a rent a room, take the bags, put everything in our sansara is fully in the bag, take things out of bag, put things back in bag and go. We don't have any slight thought process that I would like to live in this room. It's a very good room, very cheap room also, available in Tirupati or Kanchipuram. The nice facilities of hot water and everything is there, close by to temple also. So we do not make that arrangement. So like that, we do it very effectively in the yatras. But as far as life is concerned, we are quite involved into the day-to-day process. And he says what? We can live each day as if it is our last. There is no time to waste on irrelevant, superfluous activities. Even when we want, when we must give time to somewhat superficial things, it must be done in a way that enhances the primary and significant involvements. That means if we were to involve ourselves into some trade or some buying a ticket or some booking a flight ticket or whatever, you know, sadhu has to do for preaching purposes, he will do it only to enhance his actual service. The priority list mein jo number one pe hai, to enhance that only he will do the vyavahar. Like he will eat every day, but enough as to maintain his body and soul together. He will sleep so that he can get up early morning and again serve Krishna. He will also maybe buy food or sometimes, you know, buy ticket or buy clothes or wash clothes or take bath, or maybe a particular soap he will take, a particular powder of soap he will take. It's all just to aid his primary goal of life. He's not so attached to the soap that he takes. That's not the goal of his life. He'll take the soap, use it and see that his body is maintained. So, so even when we must give time to somewhat superficial things, this is important. It must be done in a way that enhances our primary and significant involvements. If we live with proper preparation and detachment, we will master the science of dying before dying, to connect with the soul and its home, the spiritual world. If we live with proper preparation and detachment, we will master the science of dying before dying, to connect with the soul and its home, the spiritual world. After all, death is to remove everything false and secondary. So do not think that this is only meant for sannyasis or acharyas or like that. No? Prabhupada said that my grihasthas who are exactly following the principles of grihastha ashram are no less than my sannyasis. Because it is not the cloth or the color of the cloth, it makes difference in your life. Even for sannyasi also, it doesn't make difference in his life because he has now worn saffron from white. What is important is the consciousness, you know. The consciousness is very important. So even if you take sannyas and then you still think of sense gratification, what is the value of the cloth change? It doesn't have any value. And even if you wear white and you have the consciousness of a servant of the Lord, not necessarily a renunciate. Because even Ramananda Rai was a renunciate. Thakur Bhakti was a renunciate. They were having all kinds of things. 10 children, property, post, respect, money, everything they had. Ramananda Rai would wear such gorgeous clothes. But in the heart of his heart, he was so much attached to Krishna actually. So when that was traced, you know, immediately he was mad in ecstasy. So, we are talking about dying before dying. There are so many offenses that can be made in devotional services. These offenses are our greatest enemy. Devotional service is extremely potent, but offenses can stagnate our spiritual growth and can destroy our devotional quiver. Offenses are activities that redirect our consciousness back to previous sinful life, or which served as barriers to our unfoldment. Offenses are like a town courier who delivers an urgent message designed to distract us from our important activities. Offenses are like a town courier who delivers an urgent message designed to distract us from our important activities. For example, we are having a meeting right now, right? We are talking something and somebody comes and tells ki your auntie died. So what happens? You immediately forget everything what's going on here. You just drop everything and run. Or you say that Shyamala Prabhu's wife delivered a baby girl. So you drop everything and just go. So the news, the courier has come simply to distract you from the current activity. I'm sorry to give you an example, but my aim of example was that whenever we are into spiritual activities, the offense is the thing that totally takes us in detour by activity and by consciousness. By activity we will do the offense, and by consciousness we will be taken away from Krishna. Now the offense is Vaishnava Aparadha is the most powerful. When we stop making offenses, we will live with proper preparation and detachment. This proper preparation is repeating the word of death. Right from beginning is continuing the theme of proper preparation and detachment. We will master the science of dying before dying, to connect with the soul and its home, the spiritual world. After all, death is to remove everything false and secondary. We'll read one more paragraph. People have cheated, disappointed, lied to, manipulated, and even abused us. When we reflect on each experience, it is as if we relive it again. That means whenever we remember a bad experience, it's as if we are going through it again, right? Somebody's death, or somebody's cheating, somebody's mishap, accident, or whatever. We think of it and we are again back into the same situation mentally. As if it is, we relive it again. Such experiences have shaped us in various ways. Many of these abusers, cheaters have traumatized us. In some cases, they have scarred us for life. The normal position is for the hurt or abused to seek revenge and severely punish the offender. It is easy to do, but will not fully resolve the problem. What is important is to address such problems with forgiveness. If we live with proper preparation and detachment, we will master the science of dying before dying. So, he is actually preparing us to die before die. If you see properly, in the third paragraph he said that we should live each day as if it is our last day. So that is one thought process which brings you close to dying before dying. When every day you are ready to die, then he said offenses distract us. So if you are dying before dying, then offenses make us live before dying on material consciousness, because we are on the material equation of offend, refer, revenge, or whatever we think about the person who has offended us, or we get offended and we, or all the things, you know. So whatever is going to hold us back in the life materially is taking it one by one. Before he said that our life or our lives of others will be taken away in near future, and we should know that it's only now that we have. We don't have tomorrow, we don't have yesterday. So we live for now, and that now is offered to the Lord completely. And that now will be the only now that we have, because it's any day we are ready to die. That means we don't know what is happening tomorrow. And then the offenses which are going to distract us. Then third thing he says, the revengeful attitude. When we get disappointed, cheated, manipulated, we are always in the mood of giving back. So what happens in giving back? Time is wasted, no? Suppose I am in Krishna consciousness and suddenly I get offended by somebody, or I get cheated, or somebody abuses me. Then immediately my mood changes and I want to just go and give back, or take revenge, or reconcile. And so much time goes back, no? So that much time we are active in material life, in one sense. We are not dying to the material life. Alive in material life, away from Krishna. So that's why, what is important is to address such problems with forgiveness. So what happens when you forgive? It saves a lot of energy. You don't forgive, then we are battling in the mind. Always, no? When we are angry with somebody, we just cannot forget about it. Mind is always thinking while taking bath, while in the toilet, while brushing teeth, while sitting nicely, while before going to bed, after getting up from the bed immediately. That thing is haunting us, is that true? If something is bothering you, it will keep on bothering you till you go to sleep on the bed. By that time you are alone and awake. And you go to sleep, and sometimes you get dreams of those same things, that you are beating that person, or they are hitting him, and then the person got defeated and you are happy. And again you wake up in the morning knowing that nothing has happened like that in what happened in the dream. And again the same thoughts continue. And then when you are alone again to brushing teeth and taking bath and getting dressed up, and whatever time you are alone, it goes on going in your mind. Keep on bothering you. What does forgiveness do? You forgive, and immediately it can be stopped, all those things. And it's a very difficult thing to do. It's very easy to speak here in the lecture or discussion. But when you learn to forgive, somehow do have an effort to forgive, you will see that immediately the topic is over for you. There is no more wasting of mental time. There is no more wasting of mind, you know, or mentality in that topic. We get freed. So that much of mind which is free from those kind of thoughts is now available for Krishna. What do we hear from in Guru Maharaj lecture? That Maya steals away your mind, Maya steals away your consciousness from Krishna. What is meant for Krishna, she steals away from Krishna to the material senses. By this way, the stolen mind, by that activity or thought, is brought back to Krishna. So it is available to Krishna now, to think for it, about Krishna.
Can we forgive ourselves also?
For what? Jesus Christ gave that example, the forgiveness is based on true repentance. You can forgive ourselves or anybody if there is true repentance. If there is no true repentance, then it becomes very superficial forgiveness. So we can dare to forgive ourselves only when we are determined that we will not do it again. Otherwise, where is the question of forgiveness? The principle of confession also is dependent on that only. The confession is effective and powerful only to the extent when we are truly repentant. Otherwise, what is the value of confession? So you may tell somebody and you say, I will not do it again, and but if you don't really feel sorry for what you have done, truly sorry. In case of offences also, the offender may come and say sorry to you. And the person who got offended also may say, okay, I forgive you. But still the Lord will not forgive you. Why is that? If the person who says sorry to whom you offended is not truly repentant of what he has done, he is superficially saying sorry because he has to say sorry as per the rule of Vaishnava etiquette. And he says, okay, I'm sorry. Then he says, okay, I forgive you. And you may forgive, but the person is not truly repentant, then the Lord is not going to truly forgive him. Yes, I know. If you want, I'll give a lecture of Maharaj given on 4th February in Vrindavan temple. Envy is a factor which will never allow you to say sorry effectively. If I envy you, and even if I offend you and I still am envious of you, then I will not be able to repent completely. That's why he said that only repentant heart, truly repentant heart, can be freed from envy and then can be forgiven by the Lord also. So don't get satisfied if only Vaishnavas forgive you and it's okay with Vaishnavas. The Lord is still watching in your heart. How much is your heart repentant? And you can imagine, yesterday we were in the Brahmavan, in Vrindavan. There's a place where Brahma stole his cows and cow baby cows and all. So we were saying that place is of repentance, that Brahma actually really repented over there. So what he did was totally wrong. So unless we repent completely in the heart, the Lord will not forgive us. Example of Durvasa Muni is there, no? Same Durvasa, Daksha example is there. We will take Daksha's example. Daksha was so envious of Lord Shiva. Only when he was awarded the goat head, he actually felt repentant. But the goat head relieved him from his false ego. That whatever he was, the goat head brought him down to the neutral platform, And then he understood his gravity of his offense. In the Daksha head, whatever offenses he did, he got to know about the gravity of the offense when he got a goat head. And that time he could truly repent. And that's how he actually came to the platform of pure devotional service. So, did you get the answer? You can forgive yourself only when we are truly repentant of what we have done. And we are determined not to do those things again. Then that decision itself is forgiveness. We get forgiven by the decision only, we will not do it again. Same example can be given with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagaya Madhai. Jagaya Madhai, what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said? I will forgive you of all your sins, not one, all that you have done, that people cannot do in millions of lifetimes. I will forgive you of all those things, provided you don't do it again. And instantly he also demonstrated how he forgave them. Any other question on this matter?
I just wanted that sentence that my mom used to say about the flowers that...
I'll read again for the latecomers. My mother often used to say, give me my flowers while I can still see them. As a child, I was thought of it as a strange, but as an adult, I saw it as a sign of wisdom. My mother understood the body to be transient, and she celebrated life, the now of life. The now means the vartaman,
present tense.
She understood that now is most important. Because you don't have yesterday, you don't have tomorrow. Only what you have is now. So she celebrated life, the now of life, realizing one must know, one must show their love and affection for life at every moment. Did you understand or not? The flowers, while I am able to still see them, please show them. That means if anything in life which is worth learning, worth knowing about, worth adopting, adjusting in life, should be told when you are in a position to accept it. When you go in a situation where nothing can be learned new, nothing can be adopted new, you are so rigid and you are so old and invalid. As King Kulashekar said, that before I become invalid, I should become fully Krishna conscious and die. Because when I become invalid, how will I remember you? So when everything is at so-called good, balanced and peaceful situation, body is all right, mind is all right, no, there is nothing coming bad in mind, health is all right, you know, things are financially okay, everything is all right, there is no problem coming in life. So he said, that time let my mind, the Rajahamsa of my mind, be resting in you, my Lord. So this is the same similar kind of thing. Do the best when things are apparently best in your life. Don't wait for the situation to come where you are helpless, you are invalid, you are absolutely nothing to do, nothing you can do, and to wait for that time to come to do your best in life. How can you do that? At the same time, how can one can to Krishna, how you accept yourself, everything what is best in your life, and it becomes useless in life that you offer to Krishna. That is old age. You will say, Naki, when you become a devotee, when you become old, why should you become now? That means the process of yoga, that means the best of the things should be offered to the Lord at the best time. Not that you offer a stale mango to the Lord, you offer a fresh mango to the Lord, best eatable, ripe, in optimum conditions you offer to the Lord. It's not that you take the mango and eat yourself nicely when it is best, and when it becomes stale, you offer to Krishna. You offer best of the Lord to Krishna. The same way, give me my flowers means the best of the situations of life should be offered, understood to the Lord when it is best. Not when you enjoy it and then you stale things you offer to the Lord afterwards. Similarly, the youth of the life is the most important thing. This is what Prahlad Maharaj says that day, that you give me Krishna consciousness when I am young. Kumarat Acharit Prajnas. When life is in the best situation, you offer that to Krishna. So then, when it becomes even invalid condition, it remains offerable to Krishna. Nothing new you can learn when it is invalid condition. Nothing great can be done when you are in bodily or physical or material invalidity. Samjhaya? Most people have special people they would like to meet, places they would like to visit, experiences they would like to have. When we associate with important people, it makes us more important, at least in the eyes of others. When we can travel to most exciting places, life seems to be more adventurous. Most important, when we can have many exciting experiences, life seems to be more meaningful. We are all pleasure seekers and are always eager to experience pleasure. But the true spiritualist does not get overwhelmed by these concerns, for he understands the temporary and even illusory nature of the world. If we live with proper preparation and detachment, we will master the science of dying before dying, to connect with the soul and its home, the spiritual world. After all, death is to remove everything false and secondary. So what is he trying to remove now? The next hurdle in dying before dying is unfulfilled desires, spiritually also. Oh, I did not go to Rameshwar, Oh, I could not go to Dwarka. Oh, I did not do this. These are so-called spiritual desires, but the spiritual unfulfilled desires, and the mind dwells in them. So this is also another hurdle which can hold you in the material world. In the name of spirituality only, but because it is connected to the material world, it can hold you back in the material world.
Does these desires really hold you back in the material
world? Yeah, suppose you...
Sriram asked me 3 days back, I understand sense gratification and these things hold us back. But if I have a desire to reach Srimad Bhagavatam, I don't finish it. So will I come back to this material world? So Prabhuji answered, no, you won't come back, very confidently. And I didn't know, so I didn't open it. But does that spiritual desire also...
Spiritual desire is connected with the material world. See, reading Srimad Bhagavatam is purely spiritual activity, na? Mm. But going to Rameshwar means I have to go to
place.
Some place in the material world, catch a train, go there, find a room. So it has got a material angle of it also, na?
Mm.
There is an angle of spirituality where Guru Maharaj will reveal some spiritual secrets over there. But there is also a material aspect to it where you have to book your ticket, rooms, prasadam, and you know, physical, you know, have to be healthy there, you cannot be sick there, you have to take precautions and all those things. Pure spiritual activity will never hold you. I am not saying yatra is material, by the way. We are material when we go to yatra. Yatra is spiritual, but we are on a fluctuating atmosphere. And at times when there is food is not nice, we get disturbed, and at times food is nice, we will be ecstatic. At times there is good lecture, we are ecstatic, at times there is hot, we get disturbed. So yatra is not material. But there is a possibility of fluctuating consciousness because of differential situation in the yatra. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, if we are reading with heart, we are not reading superficially or mechanically, it's a pure spiritual activity. One of the 5 important principles of devotional service, Shuddha Bhakti. So next hurdle he is trying to tell us to die before die is so-called unfulfilled desires. So he is writing some examples that places to visit, people to meet, and experiences to experience. Some experiences, you know, to... I didn't have this experience, I didn't have that experience, like that. So we end reading over here. We can have questions, because this is a very intense topic, so I'll leave it for the next time, next half. Any questions are there? Spiritual desires, if they are not pure,
yes.
As I said, I explained the same point. If spiritual desires are completely pure, then they will not hold you back. But then they will be on totally a spiritual platform, na? The mixed desires, having spirituality in it, will hold you back. If you have a desire to eat, say, Sandesh Mahaprasad of Shyam Sundar, it may hold you back because... But if you have desire of eating prasad, whatever it is, whether it is a tinka, dal, or ruki sabji, or roti, anything offered to the Lord, I have a desire to eat, that will not hold you back. But if you have a desire that, you know, I want to eat Sandesh Mahaprasad of God, that has a material angle to that.
So, then obviously we all have material desires also. So, then how do you know, I mean, is it better to fulfill those desires rather than, you know?
So, what he says here? If we live with proper preparation and detachment, that means it has to be prepared. Na? If we have to, life is a preparation ultimately. So now you know that you have to prepare. So what do you have to prepare? We have to prepare to give up that material desires and cultivate spiritual desire and to get detached from material desires, right? So it's a matter of practice, it's a matter of lifetimes of practice. Unless we are determined, we can't do that. And we can't feel also hopeless about it because, you know, in a state of disease, you can never feel hopeless because how will you get well? If you are hopeless in between, you never get well. That's a difficulty in disease. You have to always have a hope to get well. Then only you will get well. Otherwise, if you in between, suddenly a patient of Shyamalal Prabhu says, abhi mein ko TB ka treatment lena nahi hai, I will not take. So what does the doctor will feel? And how will I cure him? He has lost hope only in the treatment. So even if I have all facilities to treat him and get him well, I can't get him well because he has lost hope only. Lost hope means lost determination also. Hope, determination means no activity only. So we should not get hopeless. We should not feel lost hope. Best way is, as I told before also, to perform a sadhana with greatest sincerity, to always remain only under the shade and purview of the order of Guru, and not go out of that. Never hesitate to fulfill the order of Guru, and never give up the company of devotees, and engage all our senses always in service to Guru and devotees and Krishna. So that is in the conditioned state, I'm saying. Then we have all these things, material desires and difficulties and all. But when we are on this platform, this is a platform of pure devotional service. And even if you are on the platform of Shuddha Bhakti, you can still go back to Godhead. But you have to be sure that you are on the platform of Shuddha Bhakti. And that is explained in Nectar of Devotion. Rupa Goswami explains beautifully that you may not be a pure devotee, but still you can be on the platform of pure devotional service. You are in the process. And the process is as much powerful as if you are a pure devotee, if you are performing that. When you are not doing that, you are on the material platform somewhere. But if you are in pure condition, if you are on the platform of activity of Shuddha Bhakti, and if you die in that, you will go back to Godhead. Remember that.
Even if you are not a pure devotee.
Because what is the formula? Ante Narayana Smriti, na? Right? Hari Bol. Which I am in the lecture, I will talk to you a little later. So, the process is what? Ante Narayana Smriti. Antakalecha Mamaiva Smaran Muktva Kalevaram. So, when you are on the platform of active, pure devotional service, that means you are remembering Krishna, you are attached to Krishna, you are linked with Krishna, you are thinking of Krishna, you are serving Him, and you die in that condition, then you will go back to Godhead.
In spite of the material.
Yeah, because on that moment of time, if you are conscious of Krishna, serving Him, Krishna will eradicate everything that is inauspicious and take you back to Godhead. That is the power of Krishna Smriti. And if you are not, then we will, doing some service also, will remember something else and we will die.
Material
desires, and we are doing this sadhana, the chances of
the apradhas that we speak, Vaishnava, Vrata,
Nam, Vrata, the chances always become higher, because we are not purified or we are having these desires. So then how to,
you know, save ourselves, because as you said,
how to save ourselves from what?
From this
apradh. Apradh, you want to save yourself from apradh, then we should not do apradh. We should be conscious of the apradh, and we should be aware of the apradh, we should be worried about the apradh, we should be frightened of the apradh, and we have to be taking a great caution and guard against not doing those apradh. If you don't want to get burnt in fire, you should, how much careful it should be to, you know, be away from the fire.
Material desires cause us to commit apradhas.
Definitely.
Yes.
Because ultimately, when we offend people, when we have some irsha in mind, we have some aim, we have some material motive is there, na, of money or whatever, name, fame, whatever you may think materially, that pushes us to do apradhas, na, ultimately. If you don't have any desire, why do you offend anybody? Because we have some desires, we offend some people, na.
But Prabhuji, how to take care of the naam apradh? Because sometimes, you know, we chant, but the taste is not.
You have to be always in the company of devotees who are free from apradh. If I have to give up smoking, then I should be with people who don't smoke. If I am around people who are smoking, even far distance also, the smoke will also inspire me to go and smoke, no? So, if you are serious about something, then we have to be in company of people who are serious in those things. Then that is also, at least a hope is there to protect ourselves from those kind of activities. You know that you have to save yourself from apradh, and you still keep company of people who are talking gossip and criticize others, and you don't mind listening to them, you don't give up the company even after you hear them doing those things, and you continue being with them, then what does it prove? Actually, you are not serious about it. That's why you continue company with them. But you are serious about it, and instantly you will walk off the place. Because now you are determined. So you have to, whatever we say in life, you know, it has to be exhibited in action. You just cannot keep saying it, you know, I don't want to, I want to become pure devotee, I want to avoid offenses, but I don't know how to avoid it. You have to be demonstrated by action that I mean it, what I want to say.
Like, you know, if the material desires won't stop, then, you know, these apradhs, as you said, will be committed. Then how to take care of the material desires? That is detached.
Anybody wants to say anything?
As in, it's just, it's not that it's happening, anything, but I'm just asking philosophically that, you know, if we have material desires, then we are more likely to commit these activities.
That is true.
Yeah.
100% true.
Yeah.
loudly, please.
Our devotional service is a positive activity. Just like if we have an ink bottle and we want to clear the ink bottle, one of the ways is you put the ink bottle down, empty it, and then try to clean it. But the best way to clear the ink bottle is you keep it under a tap which has flowing water. Initially, the water will look blue. But as the water keeps flowing, it keeps flowing, it keeps flowing, what happens is after some time you see there is only water that's flowing. So our heart, which is full of material desires, is like this ink bottle. What we need to do is fill it to the fullest extent with positive spiritual activity. Then we don't have to be bothered about material desires. The more we think about material desires, the more the material desires will affect us. The more we indulge in spiritual activity, the spiritual energy by itself is more potent than material energy. So because the Ladini Shakti is more potent than the inferior material energy, the more we engage ourselves, our senses, with the Ladini Shakti will definitely, in a matter of time, overcome material. So initially we may be offensive, but as we continue to engage with the right attitude, gradually,
so power of positive attitude. Ultimately, if you keep on dwelling in the negativity, then positivity cannot be expected to grow in that. So defeat negativity with positivity. So that's why the activity in Krishna consciousness is all panacea cure. You know that your senses are indulging, desiring sense gratification, you know your material desires are. But when you engage yourself into Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Rutpacham, when you engage your senses into the service of the Lord and His devotees, automatically these things have to go out. Automatically desires will go away, automatically the tendency of aparadha also will go away. As long as the desires are there, the tendency of aparadha also will be there. But when desires are getting washed off gradually by the process of bhakti, then offenses also will end. So ultimately what I said is, Rupa Goswami said that keep yourself engaged in Shuddha Bhakti Kriya. No matter what. What doctor will say to the patient? No matter what, take this medicine and follow the pathya which I am telling you. Don't give up that. At any case, don't meet any vaidya, anybody, don't hear auntie, uncle, grandmother. Just take this and do this and don't worry about it. 1 month, 2 months, things will continue. Don't worry about it. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And one fine day, patient will come and thank the doctor. Thank you, doctor. 3 months have passed. I went through a lot of tests and tribulations, but now I am free from all those things. Our medical science now, the doctor and patient things exactly apply to our spiritual life also. She understand it better, you know, like that. So many ups and downs, huh? TB ke andar, jaundice will come, treatment will be discontinued, and there will be so many things happening. But ultimately, what is the patient's greatness? That he continues to submit himself to a doctor. He never goes astray. He says, whatever happened, doctor, what to do now, tell me. So he'll say, stop this and take that, and stop this and take that. Again resume this, and again do this, and do this. The surrender to the authority is the key point in this, you know. You cannot just get out of that purview of the authority's mercy.
It is still like it. Even if
you have NDR TV. It is German.
What is that?
Even if it is said like that, even if you have material desire, keep serving the Lord because He is a Hari. Okay. Another name for the Hari, He knows. You know, He steals your that consciousness, I mean that with which we have these material desires.
Yeah.
And He purifies us ultimately.
What are you saying? Something you say?
See, ये जो बोले ना आपने ऋषिकेना ऋषिकेश सेवाया, कभी कभी मेरे को इतना अच्छा लगता है ना, मतलब आई डोंट नो, बट ऐसा हम लोग सुबह जपा करते हैं, फिर गोविंदम में जाते हैं, फिर में भोग लगाते हैं, होल डे गोस, तो मुझे कभी कभी वो नाइन फिट नहीं होता भक्ति सिद्धांत से सब जाकर बिट अप योर माइंड 100 times इन 1000 times. मेरे को तो इतनी खुशी हो रही है, इतना भक्ति अच्छा चल रहा है, तो बिट अप माइंड वो कहाँ पे आता है?
Because the mind may trick you, no? That's why you cannot take the mind for granted also. Everything is blissful. I go to Mangalarti, I go to Darshanarti, I read, I eat prasad, I chant Hare Krishna, I serve the devotees. In the evening also I am doing same thing. Before sleeping also I am doing same thing. But when the mind will trick you, you don't know, na? Suppose there's a schedule of vaccine that you have to take. You have taken, given your child first dose, then there's a booster dose, then second booster, and the third booster is there. And everything is fine, there's no disease coming up. But still you, at 5 years away, again you go and take a booster, na? Again 10 years away, there's a death, you go for taking booster. That means there's awareness is there. Yes, I'm under protection of the cover of the vaccine, but there's a date for the booster also, which I have to take. I can't take it for too granted that now everything is fine, you know. Like there is a level of the drug of antihypertensive in my body. So my blood pressure is apparently fine. You take at the same time of taking tablet, apparently it will look fine. But then you will not, don't take tablet, then what happens after 2-3 hours? Again the blood pressure starts rising. So there may be apparently things appearing alright, but if you have to keep on taking the medicine, you cannot just say that okay, I am alright now, you know, I can go a little bit away and take some sense gratification, because nothing will happen much, you know. It will not cause much ripples in my life, you know. I'll just take it little bit here and there. For 25 years I didn't drink tea, you know, or didn't eat chocolate. Now after one marriage, my brother's daughter's marriage is there, you know, and then one chocolate ice cream is being served there. So what if I happen one scoop I take? Nothing will go wrong actually, but things will go wrong if you don't take a little liberty. So what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati means is that he is fully aware of the nature of the mind. That is, at any level, when you are a pure devotee also, you don't take precaution, you can fall down. Because independence is there, no? A pure devotee chooses to take some liberty at one moment of life. Then what will happen? He will fall down, no? From this platform. So mind is like that. Mind is a very powerful force. And pure devotee means, from moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment, he is surrendered. By his free will, he chooses to be surrendered. That's why he remains a pure devotee. One moment in between, out of 10 million moments, he decides not to do that and take some liberty, is again down from that platform.
Every day we should be determined.
So you have to remember that the mind exists, and till I completely surrender to the Lord, the mind will have his own role to play, and we cannot just take it for granted ki ab tak to I have controlled my mind now, no, 10 days, 10 minutes, okay. I will. You have to be aware. Aware and understand. What do we say? With the awareness and understanding of the needs of the body, mind and soul. So awareness and understanding both are important. We cannot just take it for granted at any moment of time. And in the material world, no, as you said, material desires, they can never be completely controlled. You can only divert them to Krishna. Like sex desire cannot be ever controlled by us. So only Krishna will award us freedom from that. It is not like I did something, so I got freed from sex desire. You do something, you keep doing that, he will choose when to free you from that. But it is he, not us. So we cannot never claim that I am now free from kam, krodh, do, mad, matsar. I am just attempting to be with you, my Lord. And he will relieve you of all those things. So that time, that means we cannot just be unaware and completely oblivious. Now, envy, what is envy? I don't understand. What is lobe? I don't know. What is illusion? I don't understand. What is sex desire? I have completely forgotten everything. I said, yes, you have to be aware. It can attack me any moment. As long as I am shielded, it's fine. But I have to be aware that these are my enemies. I can't just be saying, I don't know you. Who are you? You are sex desire? I don't know you. I can't say that. They will know you or don't know you. They will attack you if you are not guarded, shielded, you know.
The only problem with us is that we are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. Yes, yes.
We are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.